That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we have the Survivor Queen, the breakout star of this season of The Traitors. It is Carolyn Weegar. Now, before we hop into this delicious episode, is the last full week to vote for us in the Queerty Awards. That is right. We're trying to win Best Podcast, and we're going against some big, heavy hitters. Very delicate. Delta, Las Culturistas. I mean, let's make gay ass herstory and win our first queer tea. You can vote every single day until February 25th, and that link is in the description to help us get a queer tea award. Now, for this interview with Carolyn Weegar, we of course do talk about Survivor. We do talk about The Traitors, but Carolyn gets really emotional when we talk about what happened after Survivor aired, when Sia gave her a $100,000 gift at a time when she really needed it. And when it comes to The Traitors, I do talk about how we're obsessed with Gabby Windy. I do talk about Dylan Efron's golden retriever energy. But also I asked Carolyn who she really got along with in the cast, and the answer might surprise you. Enjoy this episode, my friends, with Carolyn Weegar. Carolyn, it is not only so good to see your gorgeous face. I mean, you said it's lighting, but I think it's just your essence. What is your secret to this gorgeousness?
Lighting. This is lighting, because here's the deal. And that's like, I do like look at the way I look. And sometimes, first of all, like being on Survivor, I had to accept that like I look like shit and it's okay. Like I'm on Survivor. Yeah, I was really excited for Traitors because I'm like, here's my opportunity to be cute. I made sure my outfits were like, woo, woo, woo. And sometimes the lighting, it is just like, oh my gosh, why did I,
Are you talking about the confessional? Are you talking about the confessional lighting that they did? There were certain people, they did like a filter on the Traitors that was like, people were talking about it online. It was like, what like angry lesbian does not like Danielle? But listen, I have to, before we get into the Traitors, which you know I'm going to be grilling you on, we need to talk about our connection of the Midwesternness, because you are famously are from Minnesota. So let's do a controversial question to start us off. Carolyn. What do you feel about ice fishing? What's your political stance?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I've ice fished, and I actually truly love fishing. My son loves fishing, but it's one of those things. Okay, for a long time, I lied to myself about, does the fish feel pain? We don't eat them. We like catch and release and blah, blah, blah. But the fish do feel pain. Yeah. And so it's one of these things where it's like, I don't feel good about this. Good. I don't like labels, so I don't say I'm a vegetarian, but I don't eat meat. It's Mr. Rogers said, like, I will never eat anything that has a mother. And that my heart just, it spoke to me. So I don't eat things with a mother. They do feel pain when you're fishing. So like ice, like, no, you won't catch me out on a lake ice fishing either. No, it's too cold.
So wow, a Minnesota vegetarian, but not identified as a vegetarian. So that means like you're not eating bison. We're not, you know, catching.
What the heck?
We're not putting a moose antler on our wall.
No, I can't. Here's the deal with, I don't want to be like, but it's like, that's the culture here is like, hold up your, and like I said, like my son loves fishing, and I'll fish with him, but it's like the culture of like hunting, fishing, sit on my deer stand, holding up my,
But I think that's what honestly sometimes turns people away of my ilk. Yes, I mean homosexuals from like go like living in Minnesota or going to those places. But obviously there is a thriving community in like the Sin Cities, as they call them. Do you think you have a good reason, like why should the gays either visit Minnesota or even potentially live there? Like, are there things for us? Are you saying stay out?
No, because I don't want to be, I'm not like, I love Minneapolis. Like, and the Minneapolis Pride is absolutely amazing. And I know that every like city has a pride, and it's like, why is it any different here? It is. It's such a friendly, great, welcoming community. It is. I don't want to be like, don't come here, but like, I wouldn't want to live anywhere where like you have to be indoors for, you know, 6 months out of the year. But as far as like Minneapolis is great, like great community. There's so many, just it is. It's a great, great scene. It is.
No, I know that it's great. I mean, there's so many listeners that live there, but also like, I know this is not Minneapolis, but like Trixie Mattel is now owning a gay bar in Milwaukee. And like, there's really great pockets. But I think one of my favorite things about Minnesota is, besides the corn-fed men, is the accent. And people seem to really lean into yours. Like, how do you feel about people doing impressions of you on the internet? I've seen this one person on TikTok constantly walk around her house going, "Bab the drag queen." How do you feel about this?
Oh, I love it. I laugh. I who, what's her, Taylor? I like, is that who we're, yes.
Yeah.
First of all, it's one of those things. It's just like when people will say, did she have a stroke? Why is her face like that? Like, what?
People say that?
Yeah. And I don't read comments, but I read like the Peacock ones on the Peacock account, because I'm like, this is going to be like a popular like post. I wonder what people are saying. I learned during Survivor, like, don't search your name. And I truly don't. I don't put into Google like, what are people? No, what? But yes, it's like, I don't realize the faces I'm making. I don't realize my mouth is hanging out, or that it's like crooked, or like, you know what I'm saying? I don't realize that my voice, I didn't even know I had this thick of an accent until people started saying it. I didn't. I thought like, because you don't think of these things. So again, I just am talking, but I've always been told my voice is very like, rah, very crackly. It's not a soothing voice. Let's just put it that way. It is. There's times where I'm listening to myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, shut up.
The Calm app is not going to be hiring you to do a guided meditation. But listen, people love you so much because you don't pay attention to what you are coming across as, other than just you being authentically your fucking self. That's why we love Carolyn Weegar. That's why you are a fan favorite. That is why you are continuing to make this world a fucking better place. It's because you're not like, I wonder how people think about me saying "Babe the Drag Queen." You just fucking say "Babe the Drag Queen."
Yeah. You know, that's the truth. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I had to prepare myself knowing, like, going on a show like that, of course, people are going to be like, the camera comes out and like, no, you.
Right.
And some people are just like entertainers, or that is not me, as far as like, I just am. And so, again, I get it. No disrespect to like the performers or whatever, but if I see you like without the camera and you're one way, and then like the camera comes on and it gets very uncomfortable. But again, this is reality TV. But at the same time, not everybody is real.
Well, but so I actually read an article about that very thing, where someone said, I'm so bad. It's the first guy that got voted off. It's Sarah Hyland's husband. I don't remember his name. Wells was saying that some of the people were always on, even when the cameras weren't going. And he was speaking specifically about the housewives and how like exhausting it must be to constantly be doing their thing. But that's, I think, why they're such good television and why you're such good television, is that they don't see the red light on the camera. They're just constantly being authentic. Whereas he was saying that Chrishell might have said he was acting weird, but he says he was just like being chill because the cameras weren't on. So I think it's like, I think you're right. It's the people who are always themselves, no matter what is happening. I feel like Gabby is the same way. Constantly themselves. They don't worry about the camera or how they're being perceived.
And it comes off as just so much more natural. But again, I get like too, there's people who will say like, I almost prefer it if people play it up and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. Like, I get it. But it sometimes can come off as just like.
Well, that's probably why Dorinda might have been sent off first, is because people were like, she is so extra. But I think that this season of The Traitor, since we're getting into it, I think obviously it is must-see television. I think you are the breakout star, thank God, and so deserved. But I also think that the decisions being made, especially when you are sort of, in my opinion, the voice of reason in the turret and the other traitors are not listening to you, to send Dorinda off first felt like a mistake. And I think that we lost a lot of good potential television with that decision.
It's just, it's one of those things too. And I know we're not there to produce the show or, but you think I didn't, like, I don't watch The Housewives. I don't. But I knew who Dorinda was. Like, she's big enough of a name to know who she is. I'd be like, come on, of course I know who Dorinda is. And yeah. I don't even watch The Housewives. And I knew, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, that was part, like, I'm thinking in my head, people are going to be pissed. Good, it's true. But not only that, like I said, it was, she was so loud. And so people were already like, she could be a traitor. So it's like, what are we doing? And again, it's like, well, fight longer, Carolyn. I wish she'd stand up for herself. Do you think I want to be in a turret all night with these people?
Yeah, that must be long days of shooting and long nights. It feels
very
like...
very long, exhausting. I get we're there to like essentially do a job, right? It is. Right. And it was very hard. Like, I'm grateful
then what time
for the experience.
You're shooting late at night. You're deciding who to banish. You then go back to the quote unquote castle. And then you wake up at what time the next morning for them to drive you to breakfast? How early?
Girl, I could take this is a mask. It takes me a long time to get ready. So I would get up at, I don't, early. Okay. Cause it would take me like at least 2 hours to get ready sometimes. Oof. And so then I would be like, I would like get up, I'd curl my hair, I'd go back to bed or no, I'd get up, I would shower. Then I would like, and I would like break it up. It would take me like, I have to put this face on. So of course, like it takes a long time to get ready. You get to a point where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. Well, I was exhausted by like day two.
I'm sure. And I'm sure like breakfast is early enough that you're like, you've already lived half a day by the time you're trying to walk into a room and pretend you're not a traitor.
And it's just, it's not like Survivor where it's just, there's cameras constantly rolling and it's just, and I can remember on Survivor, there'd be like, cause I never paid attention to the cameras. I wasn't like, let me be cute and do this little, no, I was like, this is reality TV and I'm going to be real. I wasn't going to like prop myself. If I wanted to talk to someone, I'm going to sit right there. Like, cause they'd be like, move over to the side. No, it's not like that here. It's like, there's certain times. So it's like, stop, start, stop, start. So it's a lot of like, oh, this is just, this is a lot. It's not like just constantly rolling. It's like, it's a lot.
Well, I'm sure it is, especially because, too, you're dealing with so many personalities. And I think that the gameplay alone is a big factor. But like you're walking into a room with people with so many different attitudes, personalities. I mean, even just thinking about like you're walking into Tom Sandoval, who already has his baggage, and people now on the internet are being like, he's detoxing. That's why he is sweating so much. He's like, there's a lot of opinions about these people about, of course, yeah. Britney Spears as ex Sam. He can't talk about Britney. There's Zac Efron's brother, Dylan, who people gave shit. But now, of course, I feel like he was Dylan, someone that you felt really great energy from because from my couch, I'm loving.
Oh, he is genuine and real. And he's somebody that he's the same as on TV. Like, and he never changed. He's just a genuinely nice, kind person. That's like truly like a good
that.
Guy, like a golden retriever. Like
he
total...
seems he's giving golden retriever energy that just happens to be in like a hot Efron body.
Yeah, right.
Because we did briefly bring up Gabby before, let's just like, I want to ask the direct question because you're on That's a Gay Ass podcast. Now, Gabby, of course, they say, how did you feel about The Bachelor, Bachelorette? And she was like, well, I'm a lesbian now. Yeah. Did you bond as both being queer girlies? Was that at all part of your connection?
It wasn't like what initially drew me to her. We did talk about it, but it was her personality and just, she's just not performative. She's not like she just comes off as so real and so just authentic. And it's like, I connect well to that. And I was constantly laughing and I was constantly just like, she is so fun. She's fun and her energy is great to be around. And so obviously like just, you know, sharing each other's stories and that makes you bond with someone even more, you know what I'm saying? And then just like, yeah, cause we do have this, like, just how we would like talk about like the men and like the men and the men, because sorry.
Well, no, I'm not sorry. This season, especially Jesus H.
It's a lot. And I will say like the, just especially the missions, the one where we're going up the hill and like,
yeah,
I can, we were struck like that was hard. It was. And I'm sorry, there's not any mission where I am gonna go that hard and be like, I remember all of them. Like I was dropping the smoke or what is it called? We had to drop the,
right, whatever it was,
to make it explode, whatever the hell, the gunpowder.
Yeah.
I was like, and I'm sorry, there's too many men here who are gonna be like wanting their moment of running and then like, I've got it.
But you know what healed me for that is that, because we oftentimes talk about the bullshitheadness of straight men on this podcast because those are the people who are making our gay people's lives a living hell. But I do think a healing moment for me was Bob Harper having all this like vulnerability up the hill when he was like, I used to be able to do anything physically. Yep. And now I'm like really struggling. And to see that vulnerability, like that's the type of quote unquote masculinity that is actually positive and effective, is like someone admitting their weakness versus, of course, Boston Rob or Tom Sandoval or whoever the fuck, just like showing how fucking manly they are. And I think it's at least the reaction from the audience is anger when it came to the first few episodes where there was so much of the toxic manliness. And I think that at least we're rooting for the women, and at least we're, while maybe Chrishell is not doing the best strategy by voting Tom when nobody else was, it's kind of fun to watch her vote for him. I mean, were you pissed when she kept voting for Tom, even though we were trying to get Boston Rob out?
No. And I, here's the deal. Well, whatever. Boston Rob just talked about this too. So I'm going to, but there's a part where, here's the deal. Okay. I did still want Rob there. I did, but I knew, because again, I needed his help. Like I'm thinking like, I don't trust her. I need someone. Plus, again, who's going to be, who are people? People are looking at him still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would I want to get, like, I have no reason to get rid of him right now. Did I trust him 100%? No, but I recently shared a poem that I wrote. I meant that. I really wanted to give him that poem, make things better. But by the time it happened so fast, like me finding out about Danielle, and then because I had been throwing his name out to everyone, I'm like, Rob, Rob, Rob. So I had to completely switch or turn my tune around and be like, oh, crap. And then I'm like, then he finds out that I'm throwing his name out. He's too smart for this shit. So I went up to him and I'm like, you're too smart. I'm going to tell you straight up. I have been throwing your name out. But you want to know what? I don't mean it. I don't mean it anymore. I didn't trust you. But like, please, like, I know that I need you now and blah, 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 blah. But again, there wasn't enough time. Like it, then by that point, like he was like a cat on his like 12th life. Like he was a dead man walking by that point anyway.
Well,
so I couldn't like, whoa, Rob. So that's why I voted for him. Cause I knew like there was too much heat on him.
No, you did the right move. You did the right move when there is all of a sudden the conversation is turning in that direction. It's almost frustrating sometimes to watch Danielle make decisions that are hurting herself. I mean, like it's been a very interesting journey to watch her, and she's even been tweeting how she knows that she like has been fucking up. I mean, have you been in touch with her posts? And is she embarrassed? Is she mad? Is she just fine with how it went down? Do you know?
I know she said a few times, just wait for the reunion.
Oh.
And I was just with her and
we were in New York. You just shot the reunion, right?
Or no, we were in New York doing some press stuff.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
That was, I mean, interesting. There's just like stuff I can't really say right now, but like,
yeah.
It did. Like when I watched her like throwing my name out and all that, like I didn't know until I watched it back that like, oh crap. I knew that she was putting my name out. Obviously it shows that Dylan told me, Brittany hinted at it, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't know she was coming for me that hard. Like in the cars back from the mission, trying to really, I thought it was just like, oh, to a few people.
Yeah.
Yes. And like, oh, so that was like, oh, okay. Like for what?
For what, Carolyn? It's so interesting to watch, but I have to say that the way you compose yourself and just do not give a fuck about how you're coming off. I don't know if I could ever have the stomach to go on the Traitors, and we've talked about it on this very podcast, but I do want to get into more of your herstory because we're talking about your authenticity. We're talking about your energy. Let's get into how you got to be this way. Carolyn, I'm going to ask you the famous gay ass podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're queer? Who do we blame, girl, babe?
Girl. So here's what's up. And when I say, like, and don't take this the wrong way where I'm like, I don't like labels. My best friend, she passed away in 2021. Mm. She was a lesbian, but she never would. Okay, this stuck with me. It always has. She would say, like, straight people don't need to come out. So why the hell do I need to come and be like, announce it to the world? So totally. That really, so she, and I remember she started dating women and it never was a big freaking thing. It was just, this is my girlfriend. And I remember it was like, oh, that's who she's dating. And that's it. And it's like, that's the way it should be, where it's like, hey, this is who I love. And truly it's like, that's the experience that I have. This all came from going through. I got sober when I was 22, and I did all of this like work to find myself and figure out who I really was. And in that process, I was like, okay, I can really relate to, okay, I'm reading about being pansexual, and okay, and it just stuck and it felt right. But I never was like, super
I am blank.
It was just like, okay, I met someone who I click with, and then that's it. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
I'm attracted to
you, and that's it. It's been like that even with, like, I remember like just even telling my dad, I'm like, so okay, yep, I'm seeing this person. And there was no like, oh, you and what, oh, it was okay, if great. And like normal. And again, that's how it should be, right?
Your dad had that reaction. That's a good fucking dad, by the way. Let's give props to your dad. That's the reaction that you should have. And I completely understand what you're saying.
And I know that that's not that does not clearly happen for everyone. Duh. But it's always just been, okay, like, I'm looking at the person, and am I attracted to this person or this person, and go from there. You know what I mean?
Listen, I do know. And a phrase that I overuse on this podcast lately is about just following your bliss, because it's the one thing that I can do to try to like not pay attention to the crazy thoughts that I have or the like fucked up fears that I have that are not founded in truth. It's like, what feels good? And
that's
what
it.
If I take the next step forward, can I take a step in a positive direction? And the step that you took forward once you got sober was like, I'm just going to be attracted to who I'm attracted to.
Yep.
And so one might even say that clearing your mind allowed you to hear the actual Carolyn voices that were
absolutely
letting you know who you were into. And that was not just one type of person.
And that was like, and when I say I did so much work on myself, I did so much work that I never thought I would have to do work on myself again. And that's not the case. But I did. I was like, I am going to use this opportunity. And it was like this sobriety high of like, I'm going to go like just all into therapy and all into, and just like, I am going to be okay with me, because for so long I wasn't. And it's like, when I get made fun of now, or when I'm not going to lie and be like, it doesn't hurt my feelings sometimes, but not enough to ever change who I am, or not enough to ever like, you know what I'm saying? I truly don't give I don't like, again, and I know that's like almost probably unbelievable to be like, I don't give a crap. You know how many times?
It's believable. If you've gone through hell and back and you've done that work, it's believable. I mean, you even said on Survivor that addiction does not discriminate, even if you've had a normal quote unquote childhood.
Yes.
But it's the fact that you went to hell and back and now you have 15 years of sobriety. You have this beautiful son. It makes sense that your skin is thick enough to not feel the effect of someone saying something completely inconsequential when maybe 15 years ago it would have fucked you up. But now you're like, I have been through enough to know what actually can penetrate my skin. Yes. And my head.
And so many people would tell, like, that's the thing. I've done all that. Like the, and you, oh God, I've done all that. The, okay, why do you do this? Or why do you talk like this? Or why do you, and then I'll try to like, do I sound like a girl now?
Oh,
and then
no.
I try to change myself or I try to, do you think that ever made me happy? No, I've realized, and this is super cliche, but it's true. You're never going to please everybody. And I truly live by that where it's like, when I am just my authentic self, and I think about two people on social media sometimes, they'll read all the comments and then they'll try to like alter their self to it's true. And then you see, and then they lose a piece of themselves every time they do it.
So it's dead eyes. You see dead eyes.
And it's like, oh crap. So if you read these comments and you pick up because you're going to start looking at the negative, and then it's going to be like, oh crap. Why did I, okay, I'm going to like try to make myself be liked by this group of people or this, you never will. So I just throw it all out there. I thought that I would be the freaking screaming monkey freak on Survivor. That's the truth. I fully expected I'm going to go out there. People are probably going to make fun of me. I hope that that they edit me in a way where, you know, because I'm more than just like my freaky faces. I have a story. I am a really passionate person. Like I have, like there's so much more to me than just my freak face.
Of course.
I was like, oh crap. Like I can't control how they edit me, but I hope they show more. Thank God they did. But I didn't, even if they wouldn't have shown like the rest of me, I would have been okay with it. And I truly, I thought that everyone, I'm not kidding. So when I got the amount of like, cause again, I told my family, don't send me what people say.
Well, you can say what you did get. I mean, the elephant in the room is that not only did people love you, but like Sia gave you $100,000 saying that you were her favorite player ever on the show. And she actually had the quote here. She said, I just loved watching you and loved how authentic you are. You are by far my fast favorite player in forever. And I wanted to offer you $100,000 for you and your son, because I know that you have been struggling. I mean, that's a huge symbol of what impact you had on people.
And I'm gonna cry right now because truly I can't talk about a lot of this shit, but I've there's been so much in my life that I've like gone through and just for like I can't talk about certain things right now, but
of course
the money from Sia, the Survivor money, true, and this is like, you know, people will say like Survivor changed my life or this shit. Like it truly gave me like an out to a horrible situation. It gave me the confidence to finally be like, stand up for myself and be like, you know what? And I was able to like leave, buy a place, you know, it's just without any like worry about like the finances or, I mean, it's not like I don't worry about finances now, but I'm saying like, I was able to quickly just have a plan.
She gave you a lifeline, it sounds like. And what makes me so touched by the story and your vulnerability is that it did not come from you going on Wheel of Fortune, which there's no shade of people who do that. It came from you going on a show, a very, very fucking difficult show. And then you just did not apologize and you connected in really meaningful ways. And then someone as respected and big as Sia saw that and made a huge difference in your life. But also you made a difference in people's lives. I mean, I think the universe, whether we believe in her or not, I think that the universe put all of these plot points in place for you because you had to go through the hell to, of course, help yourself, but also to help so many other people know that there is light at the end of the tunnel and there is a true magic in not changing yourself just to fucking please someone else.
It never works. And I can honestly say this, like, I can think of, like, even in the castle, I'm not one to, like, try to, like, fit in with, like, I'm just not, and it's not because I don't give a crap or, like, but it's, like, it's exhausting to try and, like, you know, fake stuff sometimes. Oh, and yeah. So I remember we would wait for, like, the missions, and everyone would be, like, on one side of the room, okay, and we're slowly walking in one by one. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to go like sit on someone's lap. There's not any room over there, but a lot of people were like sitting on the floor just so they could be in the, I was fine. Just like hanging out over here. Like I'm good. I don't need to like, or even I know it can be, I'm sure like even with Tom Sandoval, that part where he walks out of the, I think it was the kitchen, and Boston Rob and Dylan are talking and they just like completely don't even notice him. I'm sure he was embarrassed as hell. If that would have happened to me, I just wouldn't care. And I would like, do you know what I mean? Sometimes people don't notice us, or sometimes like yeah. we don't always have to be in the mix of things. And again,
you don't base your value on other people's like treatment, reaction, thought of you. I mean, it's especially when you're with those types of people, there's probably a lot of that. I'm not going to make you say like who was the most sort of dead-eyed camera reality star, but I wanted to ask you, because you have so much history with recovery and helping other people dealing with addiction, a lot of times people use addiction as a response to covering up their difficult emotions or memories. I mean, what do you do now as a sober person to comfort yourself? Let's say if someone says something shitty to you or you're finding yourself having an awful day, do you have different ways of centering yourself now that you're a sober person?
I do a lot of journaling. I do, if I need to, I don't do like AA meetings all the time, but I'll go yeah. to one when I need to, or women's supports, or even like online, there's certain groups that I'll, oh my God, all Emotions Anonymous. I'll go to all the, I was going to Debtors Anonymous and I'm not even in debt. I was just
sweetie, I just like anonymity.
Like, I'm just here to like talk. I don't care what it is. Like, just I'll do anything. It's, but I have this thing now where I'm not going to apologize for crying or feeling or, and that's why I think at the round table, I said like, I'm sorry for crying. And then I'm like, or I'll try not to cry next time. And then I caught myself. I was like, and I'll cry more. Like, yes. What the hell?
But like, that's your, you catch yourself. I think I have to do that too. Cause you know, I'll be honest with you. While of course I'm a therapy king, I've been doing it for a very long time. I will probably always be doing it.
Yes.
But I find myself sometimes having thought patterns that are like really fucked up. And I catch myself being like, ooh, let's create a new neural pathway here, babe. Like, let's not tell ourselves to stop crying. Let's not tell ourselves that yep. the excitement that we're feeling. What I've been dealing with lately is that there's a lot of exciting things happening that I'm very grateful for. This podcast is growing. I have this new thing that I'm working on that I'll be able to talk about soon. That's really great. And my excitement lasts for about 15 minutes and then yep. it turns into anxiety. And then my brain starts to poke holes into like, well, what could go wrong? Or why are you not right for this? Or why are you fucked up? Or, and then my nervous system gets overwhelmed and I start to like shut down and feel like actually things are bad. So I'm like, how the fuck did I go from a good piece of news or an yep. exciting feeling to feeling like a piece of shit that is overwhelmed and anxious? But I'm trying to like create new patterns that when I feel that, just like you saying at the round table, sorry for crying, I'm not going to cry. Oh, wait a minute, I will.
Yeah,
I'm trying to say that to myself of like, actually, what if I stay in the happy excitement and then not, and try to not poke the holes, if that makes sense.
Oh, God. When I say like, do I fall into that? Sometimes yes, but it is not nearly as much as I used to. And it's not even, and then I'm talking years ago where it was like all negative things. And I know people don't believe in like the affirmations thing now, or it's like a thing of the past. I don't care. I said a lot of shit to myself that was negative. So why the hell can't I flip this into something positive? I've convinced myself of the negative. I've convinced myself of all, screw this. No, I'm going to start filling myself with positive. And it truly is like an icky feeling now when I do like say like, oh my gosh, Carolyn, you have this zit on your, or whatever I might say to myself. It's no longer like, okay, I sit in it and it feels normal to talk shit about myself. It's like, if I do go into that, it's like, oh, what are you doing? You don't talk like that anymore.
And let's make it feel normal. Let's make it feel normal to say positive things about ourselves and make it feel more shitty to actually take ourselves down, to cut ourselves down. I mean, I started doing that during the beginning of the pandemic when I was like unemployed and felt really fucked. I would start to repeat the same affirmations before I go to sleep, and I still fucking do it. It's like now just like it's funny you say that. I haven't really like thought about doing it, but I every single night I will repeat the same thing about how I am a strong person. My big like Jewish neurosis is like getting sick all the time. I'm always fully afraid that my body's gonna like get sick and I won't be able to do something. So I'm like, I am well, I am okay, I am strong. But like, listen, girlie, we do what we can to get through, and we much would rather do the, you know, quote unquote tacky affirmations versus feeling like a piece of shit all the time. I'd much rather feel good and do something cringe.
And it's not like it's lying to yourself or again, it's we make situations worse than they are. Our head just convince ourselves of like the most horrible things. And it's like, why am I believing that? So it's as simple as like, when I get that thought, it's now uncomfortable for me when I'm like, wait, what am I doing? And then flip it.
I want to make sure that we get to talk about Survivor because that was such a big, big show for you. I mean, this season 44 that you were on was like the most queer season. A third of the cast identified as queer. But you also, the reason why you're doing this podcast is you were connected to me by Jesse Tannenbaum, who is my dear friend, who is the casting director who has done That's a Gay Ass podcast. So let me ask you, not only do we love Jesse Tannenbaum, I had to give him a shout out. Shout out to Jesse. But to me, Jesse is a incredible casting director, a very sexy man. So what is the Survivor skill that gets you the most wet?
Survivor skill?
Yeah, like, does anybody light up? If you see someone light a fire, does that make you soak?
Hell no. I can't, girl, there's not, like, I don't even know how to answer that question because truthfully, like, let me think of like even all I think.
Are you an outdoors?
Like,
are you an outdoors person outside of Survivor? No, are you like an indoor cat?
I am not an indoor cat. I don't like being inside. I'm forced to be inside when it's cold. All I can think of when you say that is just how bad people stink and how nasty, like when you're in, and that is not what you're thinking about when you're out there. It is like, get away from me. I actually talked to Reed Kelly about this. I was like, cause he was out there with his partner, San Juan del Sur, Blood versus Water. And he's like, he was so like, just,
get away.
Like, so that's all I can think, like what like turns me on. I can't even, when I think of Survivor and I'm literally thinking of how bad people's BO is and like, get away from me.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean,
I can't even like,
well, when we speak about Jesse, though, as the casting director, when he did this podcast, there were so many people that were messaging me and the podcast about going on Survivor. I mean, Survivor is like the show that people really fucking try to get on, and they want to get on the show that like gives them terrible BO. They shit in the ocean. Like, why do so many people want to be on Survivor, do you think?
It is like truly, when I say like that experience of, and I think Jesse will even say this, if you want to go on this show for the adventure and like go do something or go just go backpacking for somewhere, or like he said something, or maybe I'm misquoting him. He said something about like, if you are just applying because like, and I get that to a certain extent, like don't just use it as like, I want to go on an adventure, like go take a trip then, like, but it truly is like this of it's deeper than that. It's like just testing yourself, and it's being away from like everything and allowing yourself that time. I guess I could go on a retreat somewhere, but it is the like, when would I ever experience something like this again? It was incredible. Even just everything, the water, the beaches, the just how tough it is and pushing yourself to that level. I mean, it's crazy. I never thought that I would go out on Survivor and like be on another show, or I never expected this to be like, you know, so much a part of my life. I really didn't. Yeah. I thought I would like go on the show. People would think I was a freak. And then I go home. I'm sure that there's people who absolutely like want to be on TV and want the attention. But then there's also people who, yes, are such huge fans that it's like, I want to live this. I want to try to experience this. I want to push myself. There's something like just incredible about that.
How long, if you don't mind me asking a little BTS of these shows, how long are you shooting Survivor versus how long were you shooting The Traitors?
Traitors is, because Survivor's longer, but it's I want to say, Traitors is about a month. And then Survivor, it's a little over a month. Survivor felt like long, like, but it really is pretty similar. Like, I know that people thought that like Traitors was like only 2 weeks or something. It's not only, they film, I want to say like a month.
Because the Traitors is, I mean, when we're recording this, almost all the episodes have, I mean, we're getting towards the end of the season. And mm-hmm. I feel like now Boston Rob is gone. You and Danielle are the only Traitors. I'm assuming we're going to be getting another Traitor to join the fold. Hopefully, obviously I won't make you confirm that, but is there someone on the show that you connected with that you were surprised to have connected with, that either you were a fan of or you hadn't even heard of from before you had done the show?
Tom Sandoval. Put me in prison. Put me in jail.
No, you don't have to go to jail, but you do need to tell me the backstory. What happened with Tom?
So Tom, like obviously Gabby, that's the obvious, and you see it on the show. I love her. She's someone I still talk to, and just true, like I do. I think she's so freaking funny and great. I have nothing bad to say about her. She,
yeah.
For me, like, I was just craving like fun because let's face it, we're in a castle, like screwing around. Like this show is not that serious. It shouldn't be that serious. But like, again, when I'm in the turret with Danielle, it felt like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just dying. I was just dying to have fun and screw around. I wanted to like fake fall down the stairs and whatever, but there was no, you know, but so she was that for me, like to laugh and have fun. Anyway, Tom Sandoval, like, I didn't know who the hell he was. I don't watch Vanderpump. I don't, like, and people are warning me about him from the day I got in. People were like, he's a narcissist. He cheated on his blah, blah, blah. He did this, blah, blah, blah. So I went up to him. I'm like, girl. He's like, yeah, I was, like, the most hated man in America in 2000-something. And I'm like, here's the deal. Like, and he just got real with me and he told me a bunch of stuff and he told me his struggles and he told me that's how I connect with people, not people. Has he changed? Is he a different person? Who the hell? Like, I just met this person. So it, like, for myself, I do. I think of myself and I'm like, I've done some messed up crap in my day. If I were to be judged forever because of my past and my mistakes, come on. And it's like, again, people's arguments that I've seen or read is like, he's still like that. And he's still, okay, this man does not need to be like punished for the rest of his life. Here's what I loved about him. He's freaking odd. He's weird. He is strange. A whole nother level of freaking weird. And I love that. Yeah. There's nothing like, I'm sorry. Is he the most self-aware? I would say no. I loved it. And I remember telling him like, God, I wish you would just lean into your weird more. Stop trying so hard to like fit yes. in with people. Stop trying so hard. Like they're not gonna take you seriously. They're not listening to you. They're
well,
not.
Well, the shit
so
has
stop.
Already hit the fan. He has already, dare I say, hit rock bottom. And so I think that you are giving very smart advice, which is lean into how fucking weird you are. Lean
yes.
into whatever is actually natural, because the most insufferable thing to see are like people who think they are cool or people who think they are hot and then try to do the cool or hot things to fit in. And it's like, sweetie pie, it's not junior year of high school anymore. And we know that he's got all of these weird quirks and stuff. And I think that you're right. I think that he does not deserve for the rest of his life to be associated with the really stupid, awful, terrible things that he did. But he does need to be smart. And I think you're right. Not try
lean
to fit
into
in
it.
And just and lean. Yeah. Lean the fuck in. I mean, that's what Gabby is doing. She says, I'm a lesbian now. And I'm just like leaning into her weird. That's what I fucking try to do. It's like, and I actually think in a way, maybe this is a controversial question, but I feel like Chrishell, in a way, you look at her and you're like, okay, you're the cool girl, whatever. But I think she actually has done so well on TV because she is the balance of the cool girl, but she also, I feel like she would be nice to me. I don't know. Like she doesn't she is seem really to be nice. Mean.
She's not. And again, like she's someone, and do I judge people too? Yeah. I thought like, it's crazy seeing these scenes of like, I think Tony had said this. He was like, you know, Chrishell's just here to be pretty and sit up and blah, blah, blah. And I remember him saying that and I was like, girl, kind of thought that I was like, yeah, she's just here to, you know, and then seeing, I'm wrong. I judge too sometimes. Again, seeing the way that she like is, she's actually trying to play the game. Again, people say like she's the worst faithful and blah, blah, blah. She is actually, she's trying. Like
that's all we can ask. As long as she's trying.
And she was not there just to be cute, but she is someone who is super kind and super, but I think she's so used to like, she is used to being on TV and knowing like, but not in a fake type of way. She's not like that.
She's
like,
cracked the code. She's cracked the code of being on TV while still being authentic, while still being hot and connecting in a real way.
She's a nice person too, like off the show as well. Like she is. She's a kind, like I have nothing bad to say about her. She really is.
I love it. I love to hear it. Well, it's so exciting to talk to you in the middle of them airing this show. And I just want to reiterate how I just want to say like my religion is the Traitors. And we had the very big gift of interviewing Parvati last year while she was doing Traitors stuff. And so I feel like I'm getting the best of the best on That's a Gay Ass podcast. And obviously we have to get towards the final chapter of this interview. So I'm going to ask you a question that is very important, which is, Carolyn, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
And don't you tell me that I can't pick this person because I saw that like it's supposed to be or an actress or actor like is considered somebody who what and blah, blah, blah. Nope. Cher.
You can absolutely choose Cher. Carolyn, you can choose Cher. Choose Cher. Pick Cher. Love Cher.
Love.
Oh, wagon wheel white Tucy. Snap out of it. You know what? Do you think if they were to offer you a cameo as a drag queen who is playing Cher, would you dress up as Cher and do drag?
Of course Cher drag? I would. Yes. And people will say, like, I remember Jam was like, and people have said this before, like that my voice, like I have this, Cher sounds a whole lot better than me. Like I don't, I see it sometimes, like not my singing voice, but that I sound like her a little bit.
Will you do me a favor and just say snap out of it as Carolyn? Don't even try to do Cher. Just tell me to snap out of it.
See, now that you're telling me, I'm going to have a heart. Snap out of it.
Now yell it.
Snap out of it.
Perfect. Now say I'm Cher, bitch.
I'm Cher, bitch.
Are you kidding? I literally thought for a second Cher herself was on That's a Gay Ass podcast. Snap the fuck out of it.
Like, do you hear it? Like, Jam would say that.
I hear it. Hear it.
He said Goofy and Cher, but still same thing.
If Goofy and Cher had a love child?
Same thing.
Imagine Goofy and Cher fucking. I actually kind of can. this is all such good tea. And you know what, Carolyn? It has been such a joy to have you on That's a Gay Ass podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Since you've been so sweet to let me just make you say things like my own fucking, you know, Barbie doll, can you say Bob the Drag Queen?
See, people have been doing this for cameos. They've been telling me to say it. I'm not kidding you. It's the same thing with Survivor. The first thing where they're like, tell me about yourself. When people give me direction or tell me what to do, I can't do it. If you like, if I just say it naturally, like, so hold on, let me not think about it. Cause now I'm thinking about it. So that's why I was like, when they asked me like, to tell me who you are, I'm like, it felt too like.
So let me ask you. Okay, so there's Bob the Harper. There you go. Bob the Drag Queen.
Bob, do I say it like that?
Yeah, Bob you do, but I.
Bob the Drag Queen.
Yeah, it's the drag that really sells it for me. Drag. Bob the drag queen.
Oh, that's so... I know, and I say it so much. I'm like, but Bob the drag... Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it, though. I love it. Never change. Never change.
I won't.
And you know what, Carolyn? Our listeners are obviously going to be following you on the Instagram. They're going to be obsessed with this episode. So can you tell the listeners where to follow you? And if there's anything else you would like to plurg?
Yeah, like... I should know this, but like it's Carolyn Rose. Can't you link it or something? Girl.
Oh, it's linked, baby. It is linked in the description.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to live one day at a time right now. I have nothing to like. I get still really uncomfortable by like, and I know after Survivor, I was doing videos for free. I was responding to every message until I literally was like, I'm going to lose it if I keep doing this. But I still have like that imposter syndrome where it's like, I don't want to advertise her. I don't want to. And I need to work on it. But like, just come and find me.
They will. And that's very relatable because I also have the imposter syndrome. But we are doing what we can. We are living one day at a time. And Carolyn, stay fabulous. Stay gorgeous. And we'll see. I'll be seeing you for another gay ass chat. You're cute. You're beyond cute. Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, please click like on YouTube, leave a comment, or click the 5-star review button wherever you are listening on the podcast platforms. We're trying to spread the gay ass gospel, and that will help us get more ears and eyes. If you want more gay ass episodes, the Patreon is fully killing it right now. We've got bonus episodes with Horny Sex Diaries from Chicago Dom Daddy, and the upcoming one is going to be a trip. That is at patreon.com/gayasspodcast. And of course, while you're there, there's a link for the Queer Tea Awards where you can vote for us to be the best podcast. All right, that's enough from me. I hope you have an amazing rest of your gay ass week, and please, for the love of God, stay gay. Bye.
You've been listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, hosted by me, Eric Williams. If you want to see and hear more, make sure you're subscribed to us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, or Patreon at Gay Ass Podcast. That's a Gay Ass Podcast is executive produced by Eric Williams and produced by Nathaniel McClure. We'll see you next week.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.